His eyes were closed, and he had not made any sound but breathing. Still, Graf reached out and touched his hand across the aisle. Ender stiffened in surprise, and Graf soon withdrew. But for a moment, Ender was struck with the startling thought that perhaps Graf felt some affection for him. But no, it was just another calculated gesture. Graf was creating a commander out of a little boy. No doubt Unit 17 in the course of studies included an affectionate gesture from the teacher. The shuttle reached the IPL satellite in only a few hours. Interplanetary Launch was a city of 3,000 inhabitants breathing oxygen from the plants that also fed them, drinking water that had already passed through their bodies 10,000 times, living only to service the tugs that did all the ox work in the solar system, and the shuttles that took their cargoes and passengers back to the Earth or the Moon. It was a world where, briefly, Ender felt at home, since its floors sloped upward as they did in the battle school. Their tug was fairly new. The IF was constantly casting off its old vehicles and purchasing the latest models. It had just brought a vast load of drawn steel processed by a factory ship that was taking apart minor planets in the asteroid belt. The steel would be dropped to the moon, and now the tug was linked to 14 barges. Graf dropped his ball into the reader again, however, and the barges were uncoupled from the tug. It would be making a fast run this time, to a destination of Graf's specification, not to be stated until the tug had cut loose from IPL. "It's no great secret," said the tug's captain. "Whenever the destination is unknown, it's for ISL. By analogy with IPL, Ender decided the letters meant interstellar launch. "This time it isn't," said Graf. "Where, then?" "IF Command." "I don't have security clearance even to know where that is, sir."
"Your ship knows," said Graf. "Just let the computer have a look at this and follow the course it plots." He handed the captain the plastic ball.
"And I'm supposed to close my eyes during the whole voyage so I don't figure out where we are?"
"Oh, no, of course not.
IF Command is on the minor planet Eros, which should be about 3 months away from here at the highest possible speed, which is the speed you'll use, of course."
"Eros? But I thought that the buggers burned that to a radioactive,
When did I receive security clearance to know this?"
"You didn't. So when we arrive at Eros, you will undoubtedly be assigned to permanent duty there."
The captain understood immediately and didn't like it.
"I'm a pilot, you son of a bitch, and you got no right to lock me up on a rock."
"I will overlook your derisive language to a superior officer. I do apologize, but my orders were to take the fastest available military tug. At the moment I arrived, that was you. It isn't as though anyone were out to get you. Cheer up. The war may be over in another 15 years, and then the location of IF Command won't have to be a secret anymore. By the way, you should be aware, in case you're one of those who relies on visuals for docking, that Eros has been blacked out. Its albedo is only slightly brighter than a black hole. You won't see it."
"Thanks," said the captain. It was nearly a month into the voyage before he managed to speak civilly to Colonel Graf. The shipboard computer had a limited library. It was geared primarily to entertainment rather than education. So during the voyage, after breakfast and morning exercises, Ender and Graf would usually talk about command school, about Earth, about astronomy and physics, and whatever Ender wanted to know. And above all, he wanted to know about the buggers.
"We don't know much," said Graf. "We've never had a live one in custody. Even when we caught one unarmed and alive, he died the moment it became obvious he was captured. Even the he is uncertain. The most likely thing, in fact, is that most bugger soldiers are females, but with atrophied or vestigial sexual organs. We can't tell. It's their psychology that would be most useful to you, and we haven't exactly had a chance to interview them."
"Tell me what you know, and maybe I'll learn something that I need,"